Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast, sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to SJS here on a Tuesday afternoon. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance. Homeowners, life, auto, business insurance. If price and service mean something to you, check them out. Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. Kratzer Insurance. Of course, I'm in the beautiful Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Big show coming up today. Take a look at football and some baseball today as well. We'll have a guest from the Pittsburgh Tribune Review to talk about the Pirates. Actually, almost had a perfect game thrown at them last night. Ended up being a one-hitter. But they're still right there in the playoff hunt. We'll also take a look at the Steelers. Someone who covers the Steelers will be joining us later today, Joe Susan, head football coach at Bucknell, scheduled at 3:35. So we have a lot of show to give you today in many different ways. Pirates, Steelers, Bucknell, plus, of course, an open line to talk with you at 800-795-9565. That's 800-795-9565. So with a lot going on, it's time now for Peeking Inside Penn State Athletics, brought to you by our good friends from Learfield Sports.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout.
Like a Ford Fiesta four-door sedan, SEL, $11,995. 2006 Pontiac Solstice two-door convertible, super low miles, only $15,521. A one-owner 2011 Hyundai Sonata 2.4-liter hybrid for just $17,387. 2012 Ford Econoline cargo van, fully serviced, $18,996. 2010 Ford Explorer Sport Track 4-door, $24,352. And a 2011 Lincoln MKX with a 6-year, 100,000-mile warranty, just $34,882. Call 888-536-8017.
All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24-7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915.
Shopping for insurance to save money is not an easy thing. What if I told you there's good news for Pennsylvania residents searching to save money on homeowners, auto insurance, RVs, motorcycles, and more? What if I told you you didn't have to sacrifice local personal service? Then call or visit online the Kratzer Insurance Agency in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, serving the area now for 50 years.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. We are proud to offer Safeco Insurance at a very competitive rate. Some customers have saved as much as 50% off their premium.
Safeco has been around since 1923 and in 2008 became part of the Liberty Mutual Insurance, a name well known and trusted in the insurance industry. Start saving and be safe with Safeco and Kratzer Insurance.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security.
The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
I have a solution to all the Steeler problems.
Hit the reset button and start over.
Finish last and draft high.
That works too.
That's
that
it.
Works too. That works
it's all
too.
You get. That's all you got, sport. Telling you right now, it's all you got.
But I was
look, the way the league is designed, the Steelers have bucked the trend in the league forever. Okay? I mean, just so you know, they've bucked the trend in the league forever. And what the Steelers have done, you have to give them a lot of credit because I think it's, what they've done is remarkable. To go this long to be up there, when you are consistently drafting between, let's conservatively say, 24 and 32, which then means, of course, you're drafting between 56 and then 64,
which then means, you know, I mean, just keep going. You know, that's where you're drafting. And the Steelers are not a unit that trades up. They don't trade up. It's not what they do. And that's something you have to keep in mind. The league is designed for them to go down at some point. So like I pointed out last year when it came to the Detroit Lions, we're talking about the Detroit Lions. You said, well, what's made them better? You know, they lost a lot of close games last year. But I said, look, I said, when you have Calvin Johnson, second overall pick, Matthew Stafford, first overall pick, and Ndamukong Suh, second overall pick, you know, and just keep going and going and going, right? You are supposed to build a team, if you draft correctly,
you would hope.
One that resurrects itself. And plus your schedule, and when you're playing the last place schedule, it is supposed to open the door to getting better automatically. And, you know, I mean, that's what you have.
Let's see. Colbert's been there as the GM since 2000. Is that too long in one place?
No, you're drafting. Okay. Let me explain this one more time. All right.
I heard you.
Okay. That has nothing to do with the GM. Okay?
You find a guy to run the football? I mean, there is nobody in the NFL that can run the football?
Okay. Who's running the football in the NFL besides Adrian Peterson? How are the Giants running the ball? How are the Jets running the ball? How are the Patriots running the ball?
This is an offense that can't even run running back by committee.
Whoa. How are the Cowboys running the ball? Okay. How's Kansas City running the ball? There aren't many teams that are running the ball well right now in the NFL. How are the Patriots are considered to be an upper echelon team. How are they running the football?
Are they getting positive yards?
Some yes, some no.
All right. Well, right now, the Steelers can't find a running back that wants to run through whatever hole is there. Instead of dancing around the line of scrimmage, trying to kick it outside, just run the stinking ball through the hole that's called. I realize it's not the gash that you've been expecting from a Steeler offensive line, but just run the ball to the hole. Lean ahead, get 3 yards. I'd be happy with that right now.
But it's not there. And if the running back is not quick enough or recognizes that, it doesn't matter because teams with their speed and so forth on defense, the running game, while still being an important part of what's going on, there aren't many teams that run the football well. The Bears run it well. The Vikings run it well. Obviously, the Packers did the other day. Last year, the Redskins did. This year, they're not.
But you hit the nail on the head. You said something that makes sense, and this was my point. You have to find a running back who does have the speed to get to the hole, because it's not going to be there long. There's a little bit of a hole there. Get to the hole, lean ahead, get your 3 yards, and be happy with it. You've got to have a little bit of vision. I don't think the Steelers have a back that has enough vision.
Well, you haven't seen Le'Veon Bell.
You know what? You're right. You're right, and I did forget that fact.
I mean, he is supposed to be your first running back. Okay,
that may be the saving grace of the running game.
Okay, you know, so I mean, you can't really make it a big issue until,
I mean, I realize that you have a patchwork offensive line, and your center that has been a Pro Bowl center is gone, and you had to find a new center literally on the free agent market. But it just amazes me that for some reason a Steeler football team can't get 2 or 3 yards on a running play. It amazes me that any team can't get 2 or 3 yards average on a running play.
The athlete you have, especially now at linebacker, is a superior athlete. They do a good job of numbers in the box, try to spread them out, It's just tougher to run the football in the NFL these days. It's also a pass-happy league where the game is designed to throw the football. Matthew Stafford had over 700 pass attempts last year. The Detroit Lions were not a running football team. It's one of the reasons they brought Reggie Bush. Some teams can run the ball. The Redskins ran the ball well last year without Morris, but that was in part with the zone read. Seattle runs the ball well. San Francisco runs the ball well. The Rams did, but you notice there's no Steven Jackson. Now the Rams don't. Jackson's now with the Falcons. The Saints are an okay running team in the NFL today. It's a mixed bag as to who can run the ball and who can't. The Patriots are an upper echelon team, not a great running team. And that's an upper echelon team. I think the Broncos are okay at running it. The Giants are not very good at running the ball. Put much more pressure on Eli Manning.
Sorry, Steve, we're having a little bit of networking issues with our connection, so I'm trying to figure out if we have any solution for that, because we drop you, we lose you every so often.
Well, a lot of people want to lose me. Yeah. That's, you know, a lot of people want to lose me. That's fine. But so it's not, you know, you don't have Le'Veon Bell, so you don't have your first team running back in there. Then the guy you want to have, you know, one of the guys you want to have at running back gets hurt, he's out for the year. You know. Plus, the Steeler offensive line is not very good.
Well, they're not very good, and they have a lot of they have, you know, you lose a Pro Bowl center, that's a big loss. And you had to replace him.
Yeah.
He had to replace him for a guy who was actually in church on Sunday and didn't even watch any football, and had to get him up to speed. But I'll tell you what, I didn't think he did a bad job. I thought he did fine. I just don't think the backs that the Steelers have running the football have vision enough to get to and can get to the hole quick enough to lean ahead and get 3 yards. I think everything is, let's kick it outside. If the hole's not there, let's slide to the right. Let's slide to the left. I saw a few holes there last night, and they just weren't getting to the line and didn't have the vision to get there.
There's a reason they drafted Le'Veon Bell. Okay, because they thought he was going to be a cut above what they had. When you draft somebody, the idea is to draft somebody that is eventually going to take a spot or is a cut above what you have. Jarvis Jones was drafted with the idea that eventually he would move into a starting spot. Okay? Well, it turned out it was sooner rather than later because of the injury to Larry Foote. You drafted Le'Veon Bell because you thought he was a cut above about what you're going to have there. Okay? I mean, that's why you draft the way you do. And so the Steelers don't have their starting running back in there. They don't have the starting tight end. They don't have the starting running back. They don't have the starting center. A lot of things they don't have right now.
Including a winning record.
Well, no, they're not going to have a winning record.
And that's
record
not,
this
no,
year,
I, I'm.
They're not going to have a winning record this year, as simple as that.
No, you're
you
right.
Know, I mean, the schedule doesn't play right for them, including this week coming up. I mean, they have the Bears this week. The Bears are a better football team right now.
There was one bright spot, though, last night. One lone bright spot, and that was. Courtesy of the Steelers radio network.
Ben steps in. Redmond behind him. Nope, he's going to throw a fade pattern near sideline, and it's pulled in inside touchdown. The end zone. Touchdown by Derek Moy, the 6'5 product of Rochester High School and Penn State University. His first career touchdown, and the Steelers are in position to tie it up.
Now, remember when we were talking about players that were leaving, and one in particular that is no longer a receiver with the Steelers. Derek Moy was the one guy I thought that actually could be a future, a long-term possibility for the Steelers.
Moy's a good player. He's a good situational player. Okay? It's a situational player. And right now, that's how he has to be viewed. Joe Susan coming up next. Then we'll talk Pirates and Steelers the rest of the way. Couple guests coming on. We'll look forward to talking to the coach in a few moments about Bucknell here on News Radio 1070. WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome. Great to have you with us. As we roll through this afternoon together, brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance. You know, if you happen to be somebody that really puts a value on price and service, Kratzer Insurance in Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland, they'll take good care of you. They'll take great care of you, as a matter of fact. And we're very pleased to be joined by the head football coach at Bucknell, Joe Susan. Joe, welcome. It's great to have you back on the show.
Steve, it's great to be back. I miss you guys.
Okay, so we start out tongue-in-cheek.
Is there any other way?
There is no other way, my friend. There is no other way. There are certain things I'm sure you wanted to accomplish in the off week. Did you feel like you made strides in accomplishing some of those off-week goals, those bye-week goals?
We did. We focused on some of the younger kids that we want to bring along. We've actually made some position changes that I think will help us in terms of depth. One of the things that you deal with is you want to make sure you're healthy. And after one game, we were fairly healthy. And, you know, we go into the next, you go through the bye week, you're smart about what you do, but you want to keep the edge physically, and I think we accomplished that. And the other thing we did is we spent Thursday and Friday on the road recruiting, which is very important to keep up to date with the kids we are recruiting and then to be open-minded with the kids that we might recruit. As well as one of the things we do every time we do recruit is not only are we looking at kids that are seniors, but we're looking for kids that are juniors, sophomores, young Pop Warner kids that might be able to run, and just so that they're familiar with us, accustomed to who and what we are.
Something I did not touch on with you last week, and I was remiss in doing this, is you had alumni weekend last weekend. You had 70 former players back for that. The importance of making those kind of connections with Bucknell's past as you move forward.
I think it's great to have those guys here, obviously. It's great to have them on the sideline, which is something that when our players see ex-players on the sideline, I think it's important. And one of the things that I think that we accomplish with the alumni weekend is that we tie years together that might have a disconnect because of different coaches, obviously different time and different levels of success. And them being on the sideline, they can hear how we coach our kids and see the level at which we play. I think those things are important. I think that in the long run, it brings more people back to the program, but it also, in many ways, gives the kids in the program the idea that there is an alumni support group that is an important factor when they leave this place. And it's nice to have someone there to open a door for you that is a strength of any better academic school, and if you have that as a recruiting tool, it really helps open kids' eyes. And there have been programs that I've been in that have that as a strength, more so than others, but it is something we're working to develop as a strength here.
There's no greater mystery for a head football coach than to be a college football coach and play your opener. You've done that. Except you have to go through it all over again. Cornell has not played at all, and David Archer is in his first game as a head coach. How, I know you've concentrated on yourself, but you still like to have some idea about what you could see to help the kids out. So give me an idea of the mystery and how tough this assignment is, because Cornell's good to begin with, but the two mysteries I just talked about.
The mystery of playing a new staff is always one that you have to backtrack the coordinators, you have to backtrack the head coach and what his influence has been offensively, defensively, and special teams. Then you have to study those as best you can, but also within the schemes that we anticipate, what else can they do? And, you know, those are the things that having a bye week helps you with. There are certain concepts that we use offensively that regardless of the front, we can be effective with zone schemes, gap schemes. We're minimal in our man schemes right now. And defensively, the thing that we have always been able to do with the personnel that Cornell puts on the field is challenge them with movement. They have one of the better quarterbacks in Jeff Matthews that I feel will play. And I told my team that he can't throw from his back, and he can't throw when he's watching. So that combination will be a focal point in terms of how we play within the game. The other thing, too, that they see the film, I know they have our Maris film. We hit the Maris kid. We sacked him 6 times, hit him another 8 times,
right,
and hit him illegally twice, which other quarterbacks see that stuff, and they say, I better get rid of this thing fast. And we hit Jeff Matthews a lot last year. He didn't have one of his better games, but he played well enough for them to come away with a win. And, he's a 6'4", 230-pound kid that will have an opportunity when he finished playing on Saturday to play on Sunday. And, obviously, in this league, you don't play against many quarterbacks that have that ability. And he is one that definitely has that. And the uncertainty of a new staff, I think, is more a challenge for Coach Archer than it is for me. And that,
yeah,
you know, he's bringing guys together that haven't coached together in a game situation. I'm sure they've done game scrimmages and those things, but it's completely different when it counts.
Yeah, in fact, Matthews has thrown for over 8,300 yards in his career, but he did lose the guy that protects his blind side, and that's J.C. Treader, who ended up going on to the NFL. So that's something that I think becomes an interesting dynamic for you.
It certainly does. You know, he has to play with a new offensive line. Some of them have some experience. The kid, I forget the kid's name, Gilotley. It seems like he's been there about 8 years. And
right.
I know they have different eligibility things in the Ivy League, but he's a heck of a receiver. And they're big at tight end. It would be interesting to see if they are pro style in the way they attack with the tight end. They have Bustain at tight end. He's 6'5", 252. And they're young at running back, Luke Hagee, but I remember him from the Pittsburgh area. Defensively, we anticipate a three-down front, which is the front that we played against last year. Jared Backus was the defensive coordinator at Princeton last year, and we brought out a lot of Princeton film, and I think from a schematic standpoint, he'll do a lot of things similar. And with that, you bring into play whether or not they're going to line up in a bear, which we have bear checks every week. Are they going to be a man-to-man team? Are they going to be a zone team? So we practice against those things. And we try to keep our speed practice up by practicing against ourselves. Today we'll do a period, Bucknell versus Bucknell, 11-on-11, and then Bucknell versus Bucknell, 7-on-7, just so that we can maintain the speed of the game. And kids have done a great job. I've tried to brainwash them to understand want to be, let's make this the best Tuesday we've ever had. And if they can move one day to the next, they don't live in the past, nor do they live in the future. And but again, they're 18 to 23 year olds. We all remember how much we knew when we were 18 to 23.
Joe, if I knew then what I know now, oh my goodness.
Exactly.
Yeah,
amazing. When we graduated from college, how much our fathers have learned in our 4 years of college. That was the other thing that amazed me, how smart he got.
Oh, yeah. My father got smarter and smarter and smarter with each week. I can tell you that right now.
Exactly.
Now, for you, how much as the season goes, and this is obviously, this has been brought up with Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien with Thud here is not doing anything innovative. Joe Paterno did Thud all the time as well. Chip Kelly does it with the Philadelphia Eagles. How much do you like to hit, and then how do you like to taper that as the season goes along in practice?
You know, in some of our scout periods today, we'll do a live tackling drill where our scout offense is running against our first team defense. We'll do a live cut drill where our scout defense is running in our offense. But most of it is either thud, or we have a concept we call tag, where it's come to balance two-hand tag to the hip, so that the kids are getting into a tackling position, but there's no contact. Our kids have really done a great job with that. When we first got here to Bucknell, that meant 21 guys on the ground. And there's only so many hits you can take. And it is a cumulative effect that we work on the fundamentals of tackling. We work on the fundamentals of blocking. And one of our focal points going into each week is minimizing the missed tackles. And it is one of we have a big three where we focus on three different things in each phase. And last week out of the Marist game, we didn't get our goal. We had 11 missed tackles. We can, and that's two per each position, and one extra. So 10 would be passable. 11's not. And those are the goals our kids are focused on. And 11's not bad, but it's not passable. And the thing here with Jeff Matthews is that you'll get shots at him. You got to take him off his feet. He's not going to run around you like Tucky Looney did from Marist. He's going to be able to buy time just because of his girth and his size. You got to be able to tackle him, and we will.
Exactly. Now here's the next part of it, and you talk about in the psychology with your kids. You and I just went over Cornell, what they can't do, what Matthews can't do, and so forth. In the end, the importance of what Bucknell does versus what Cornell can and can't do.
No question. We obviously did not open the game book totally offensively in the Marist game. There are certain things that we are going to do that we didn't do, so that they haven't seen on film. And one of the things that we pride ourselves in here is ball security and ball disruption. We didn't have any turnovers in the Marist game. We created three turnovers. And those are things that over the course of the year, if you can build on that, the kids take pride in that. We practice it every day. And I would imagine that in first live contact that Cornell going through some of the first game things, the penalties, the potential turnovers, if we can keep both of those things on our side, I think that becomes an advantage for us, and that we played a game, we've been through that. And, the biggest thing is ball security. You look at, I think it's the Giants over 10, or over two games, they had 10 turnovers. And you're not going to win those games. But if you're on the receiving end of those, you get a chance to win.
Oh, exactly. The Giants have Eli Manning. They have 10 turnovers. Kansas City has Alex Smith now. They don't have any in two games.
Exactly. So, Alex Smith is a surgeon.
Yeah, exactly right. Joe, an absolute pleasure. Best of luck in Ithaca on Saturday. Appreciate the time, as always.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks a lot, Coach. Great having you.
Coach Joe Susan. Yeah, head coach Joe Susan, the Bucknell Bison. And great to talk with him. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, located Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. Look, if price and service are important to you, and you're looking for auto, homeowners, business, life insurance, Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. As we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. was that?
That was at the end of a football game win, the Ray Bucknell led by the seniors.
Oh, very nice.
Got a
very
chance nice. To see like that, a couple of weeks ago. I'd like to see it one more time on Saturday, too.
Something that I don't like happened this week. Bo Pelini said something about Fairweather fans 2 years ago, privately. It was caught on tape. Deadspin.com got a hold of the tape and released it this week. I don't understand the purpose of this. And I don't, you know, I understand that when you have a mic near you and so forth, I mean, I have lived my life around these things. Sometimes I've done well with it, sometimes not so perfect, but I've lived my life around them. And I don't understand the purpose behind, oh, look, he said this 2 years ago and releasing it. It was 2 years ago. I don't understand where we're going now. Take, for example, let's take Bill O'Brien, okay, and myself. Now, I've always made it a policy that I will never, that once I turn the recorder on and I give a 3-2-1, and then we go into it, that's when it's all official, okay? So if there's a chit-chat beforehand and so forth, there's nothing but chit-chat beforehand and so forth, and it's between two people. But, for example, there's no longer a point, for example, where a public figure, let's just take something out of the realm. Last year, you know, say a head coach, it's 2016, political campaigns going on and so forth, and, you know, coach, like anybody else, has an opinion on which way they'd like to see it go. Okay, everybody out there listening, I mean, you know, you voted one way or the other last year and had a specific preference why. You're going to vote one way or the other in 2016. You'll have a specific preference why. But a coach, even in private, you know, just sitting around with a group of reporters or even with a group of fans or whatever, can't have that conversation. Like, you can have that conversation, right? I sat around with a group of people the other night. The coach was saying, boy, he'd really like to see X win the presidential election. And it gets tweeted or it gets put out there. I mean, I don't know how you control any of this, but it's out of control.
No, and that's why. I'm sorry, Steve. That's why coaches, I think, feel that whenever they're talking to a reporter of any type, whether it be print or broadcast media, that they're on the record all the time.
Right. I understand that. I understand that. I mean, hard.
Yeah.
And to me, in the position I'm in, to be frank with you, is that one of the things I do consider an important part of the job is the loyalty part of the job. Now, does that match up with a television critic's or a radio critic's view of what my job is? No, but that's my view of the job is the loyalty. Like if Bill or Patrick or before that Joe, Ed, you know, Bruce, Jerry, Dick Harder, I mean, it's the same thing. That if they told me something, it was done in confidence to give me either a better view or just because they want to talk to somebody as a human being. All right. And to me, it's always been held in confidence. It never goes anywhere else. But it's out of control now. No privacy. You're not allowed to like look at a waiter and say, look, this steak's underdone. I can't eat this. Well, did you hear he ate this steak? There he is. Well, what are you talking about? Do you have to be on your guard every second now? Where now you're losing personality out there, right? Now Joe Susan comes on and he kids with us right away. That's terrific.
Okay, that wasn't personal. That was just a couple people that become friends over time that have talked a little bit over time, and he can kid with me a little bit. You know what I mean? Bill O'Brien and I have the same sense of humor. Patrick Chambers and I have the same sense of humor. Joe had a great sense of humor. Okay? You know, the more that people become picayune, the more they're actually losing out. And believe me, you as fans are losing out a lot by losing personalities.